Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
Still here.
And Christina Liu.
Hello.
And this morning we're just having a conversation, which we will for this segment too, on some issues in an effort to try to keep seniors safe. I mean, sometimes it's almost impossible to do everything, and we're not saying that, and we're also not saying that the world is full of thieves. There's a fine line, but if there's a few simple precautionary things you can do, you might as well do them to try to safeguard your money.
Absolutely, I agree. You know, and it's especially, you know, with this is the season, you know, that people are tending to buy things and do things, and this is unfortunately the season to really heighten, you know, scamming people as well. So you just need to be particularly careful around this. And, you know, we always like to say on the show there's golden nuggets, and if take away one golden nugget of a tip, you know, something to do to keep you safe and get kind of ahead of the game, it's definitely something important to do.
One other thing also, which seems silly, and I don't remember where I heard this, is your passwords for stuff.
Yep.
And you know, it's getting confusing because I have in my phone, I have a title password and I have everyone under it because you have a password for work and for home and for this. And it's like, and they say you shouldn't use the same one for everything because once they catch one.
Yep.
But then it's like trying to
How do you remember them all?
And if you don't write them down, I'll say, I'll remember. And then, of course, what was that one? And they have to be basically simple. But do you know what the number one password is?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
No. Password. Typed in. Yeah. The number one word that's used for password is password. Which is so dumb because so most crooks put password in it for it. Because you say, what's a password? I just put password.
Wow.
That's the number one.
I never knew that.
Nope. And you know, and then it shouldn't be, you know, Christina. So it shouldn't be Jay, who's her husband, say, you know, KJ or something like this. It's like people
try to
figure out.
Well, there's my
password, Thomas. You have to be outside the box.
No, it is. You know, and that's what I've also noticed because I always laugh because my mom because my moms are the best. I was like, Mom, I don't even know how you remember anything because the way she, I was like, these are like the most intensive, like spelt backwards, all kinds of crazy things. But I noticed that sites now are telling you, you know, you have to add a special character and an uppercase and a lowercase. So you've seen it actually evolve in these sites too, you know, to do this. But it is totally an important thing to really, really, you know, make strong passwords because that makes a humongous difference in, you know, you getting scammed or not.
It's hard because you want to use personal information so that
you remember
can remember it. But in the long run, someone else can guess it, and that is not recommended at all.
No,
and it goes and it goes hand in hand with, you know, they were saying, you know, in addition to do not use your Social Security in any of those things as well, you know, so whether your PIN number, because if you actually use that, then all of a sudden there's those four numbers, you know, the last four of your social, boom, and now they have access to, you know, they're going to immediately try, you know, to use those numbers. So that's something else to really to keep in mind, too.
I see also that don't choose passwords using dictionary words, names or parts of names, phone numbers, dates, and stuff of that nature. It really makes it very challenging to come up with a password that you will remember.
Well, that's the point. You have to save it. I mean, a lot of people have their email address, like just say John 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the year that John was born. And I have a lot of friends that have done something nice, or the first numbers of their address. But that's your email address.
Right.
You can't do it in the password.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to write them down, do weird stuff. And it's a password just for some simple thing, that's fine. But when there's access to money involved.
Absolutely. You know, and in this, you know, similar thread, and I've actually noticed it recently myself, is, you know, I'll get an email and it'll say, you know, Chase, let's say, for example, or something. You know, and they're very rarely going to email you with any kind of claim. And they look really legitimate. Yep. You know, the logo will be there for these sites. You know, and you really, it's difficult, you know, even as someone who is savvy to say, okay, hold on a second. It's saying, you know, I got to do the, you know. So it's really important to know that if you get one of those kind of things, you know, you need to be the proactive one and call your actual bank and say, you know, did you email me before you do anything? You know, it's really important.
And to supplement what you are saying, phone calls are also ones that can be fraudulent in nature. And some of them, especially if they try to frighten you with the fact that you need to give us all your information and your passwords and so on, otherwise you're going to jail, we're going to close off your accounts, mm-hmm. and they try to pressure you so you don't really have the human ability to think on your feet calmly. Right. That's exactly what they want, because they want you to give them information that they can't obtain, and once they have it
right.
from you, then they're free agents to move around and get that stuff that by all means you don't want. So you got to be leery on some of these phone calls and the messages that are left on our answer machine, whatever they may be. I just let it go because...
I agree. I don't answer. I mean, unless, you know, nowadays you can put the person's name in. So you see, you know, if you're calling me, I'm going to see Ann Hirsch. Mm-hmm. So I know it's you. These numbers come up, especially these 800s and the 866 and whatever they are. I never pick it up. But unfortunately, seniors do. I've been in clients' houses having a conversation, the phone's ringing, excuse me, no, it's just, what, you're in a conversation, you're taking care of some business. You don't have to answer the phone, unless you know there's a sick relative someplace that you're concerned. But then when you see it's 800, that's not a sick relative, or a number that you don't recognize. And nobody calls you, and nobody emails you. It's all, you know, U.S. mail. If they're after you for something, they're going to, they want that paper flow, that they can turn around and say, on such and such a date, we sent you a letter, and then they're going to send you a registered letter. Then that's legit.
Not all of us are quite up to the level you're now discussing, because not all of us have caller ID. So
okay, that's
what
true.
We
okay.
can do, which is what I do, is I let the recording saying I am not available go on so I can filter the phone call.
You can hear the person.
And I can hear okay. what's happening.
Good.
And I can... pretty much tell whether it's a robocall, because some of them are the same calls over and over by some form of a computerized voice or something of that nature. But you can filter or censor your phone calls to see who's calling me and what is this exactly about, which again will slow you down enough. And whatever you do when they tell you, press this button so we can speak further. Don't press the button.
Right.
No, that's definitely...
No, it's very true. And I'm forgetting that. You can listen. That's how these things work, though, because they know people pick up the phone.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, seniors, you know, especially now going into this time of year, we're not there yet, but you know, you have a February, it's cold, it's damp, snow on the ground. How much TV or reading can you do? You're not getting out. The phone rings. It's a voice.
You're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right. When you have that so-called feeling of loneliness and the phone rings and you go, oh, my gracious, I wonder who this is. And you're so excited. And even if it is someone selling newspapers, mm-hmm. you can sort of get a conversation
right.
going with them and whatever and so on. Even if you say, well, gee, I really don't want this and that and whatever. But still, you're absolutely right. You're very receptive. And sometimes if they're smooth enough, they can work it where you say, oh, all right, let my guard down. Don't let your guard down at all. And again, they're catching you off guard if you don't have that opportunity to screen the phone call well enough to know and be prepared to what it is you're going to be talking
right.
about. So I think that's really a very important factor. And 3/4 of those phone calls are going to hang up when they hear your voicemail.
Right, right, 100%. And then you know it's nothing.
Correct.
You know, but once they get you on the phone, Judy Bosworth has said it, and she's right. This generation, the senior generation that we're dealing with today, the post-World War II, is the most trusting generation. Mm-hmm. You know, a 35-year-old today is much more hip, and they're not going to be, some of them can still be taken advantage of, but less. An 85-year-old woman, an 80-year-old woman, they grew up trusting. So if I say, no, I'll take care of you. All you got to do is write a check for this. Are you sure? No, that's fine. And don't you worry about that. And we'll make sure that it gets into the right account. We'll make sure we fix your house or whatever I'm saying we're going to be doing. You know, they're not sitting down saying, I want this in writing. I want to double check it. They don't do that. They trust you. And then next thing you know, if you're doing it with a small enough amount, $500, $300, it's not going to change their life. And it's gone, though. And that adds up. And those people who make those phone calls, if you make 100 or 200 a day and you get two or three people and you got $1,500. Right. It's a day's work.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and they're making the calls from India and different places. So we're not talking, you know, I mean, there was a big arrest there, I think about a month or two ago, of several hundred people. I mean, it's just, so the cost of living over there, if you're winding up with a couple of $100, you know, coming in this way, it's a disgrace, but it happens.
And I think something that we've been discussing, checking accounts and credit cards, which the majority of us, you know, definitely use. But, you know, there are many people who really are mobile savvy, and there are important things about that as well, as far as being careful the apps that you choose mm-hmm. and that what information you're putting on those cell phones,
absolutely.
Because that is very important.
Right, because it just makes it easier, you know, for this whole, get the whole full piece of the puzzle. Oh, Christina Lou, you know, who lives here.
Right.
You know, you can, oh, she goes, you can start, like, making this whole, getting a full picture of who I am as a person, and then it makes it easier to, you know, take advantage of, which is, you know, in 2 weeks we actually have on, we've had her on before, Abby Stokes, who's going to be, you know, talking
about,
you know, shopping as well, and she's wonderful because she'll give tips too. And I think it's just important, you know, especially in the North Hampton, you know, we taped a Project Safe series that we're really trying to get the word out there, because, you know, there's so many different forms of scams, whether it's financial or, you know, these health insurance. I mean, it can go on and on and on, but it's just important to just get the word out there. So stay tuned for those.
And
as well.
Let me just link on. There's phishing and spoofing, which involves emails. That's another thing, where it's fake websites that mm-hmm. looks like a Chase or like a Bank mm-hmm. of America or something very legit, and it provides your personal account information. And these emails may even ask you to call a phone number and provide account information. It's fraudulent.
Right.
And you, again, you can get it almost in any form of communication
right,
that's coming in any direction.
If you're not sure of something, if you're not expecting something, you don't answer an email
yep.
and don't open up the attachments.
Yeah, and that's just important. You know, and it's hard because, you know, to remember that, you know, because you're just, you know, your nature is to be trusting and just answer things. And, you know, what I was looking through all the material for this, something else I thought was good, too, is that, you know, even just in the mail, a hard copy. I mean, people get, I can't tell you how often I get a credit card trying to get me to open
a credit card.
You know, and it's like, oh, I don't need this. And, you know, you just want to toss it in the garbage. But, you know, someone could pick that up and boom, you know, open something out. So it's so important to shred, and get rid of those things.
Correct. And malware, although you think that is your secure, you know, answer in software and so on, it also includes risks with viruses, spyware, Trojans that are designed to infiltrate or damage a computer
right.
system as well. So they can steal personal information, and they also can commit fraud. You have to be very careful as to what you are downloading and
right.
putting
yeah.
in, even when you think you're doing it for security purposes.
I agree. We have to take a break. We've had a very deep...
Bottom line is be proactive.
Be proactive. Yeah. Be proactive with your money, and we're going to have Kate Beckman here in a minute. Be proactive with your entertainment.
There you go.
We'll be right back. You're listening to 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.